This week, the third week of Lent, is when we're looking at Jesus as we continue with his emotional intelligence, trying to understand that. We started out the first week with looking at his self-awareness and hopefully our own. Last week, we looked at empathy, Jesus' ability to understand and feel what others feel. And this week, we look at confidence and Jesus' great strength, his faith, that allowed him to do all the miraculous things he did, his connection with the Father that filled him, motivated him, and inspired him. Confidence is one word among many that we can look at today. I think another one is faith, which I spoke about a little bit with the children earlier. And one of the great things about getting to work with children, about having children in our lives, whether they're our own or friends or other family members, is that there's an openness to hearing God's voice in their lives that we often might lose as we get older. Because too often as we become adults, we don't have the time. And we train our minds to think a certain way. We train our personalities to behave a certain way, because it seems like the best choice at the time in order to survive, in order to be successful in the world, in order to handle all the responsibilities and duties that a adult has, having work, having relationships, starting a family, having extended family, paying the bills, all that kind of stuff. And it's hard to have that innocence and broad, open awareness of a child as we become an adult. And yet, as Jesus said, we have to be like little children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, in order perhaps to become the kingdom of heaven. So for each of us as adults, and for many of us as older adults who've lived full lives, reacquainting ourselves with that purity of being a child, without all the baggage that we've had to accrue as we've gotten older and become more experienced in our lives, that purity of awareness, of faith, of love, is pretty powerful. It connects us to God in ways that at times are adult skills and abilities have a harder time connecting to God. Now, I'm speaking in general terms here. I'm not saying for each of us this is always true, but one of the things that I've been noticing lately is that along with the awareness of the difference between the child and the adult, is also the awareness that God acts through the child, but God also, of course, acts through the adult too. It's just that the child might be more readily aware of it than the adult is. Because we often think that what we're doing is our idea. Well, I have to go to the store, or I have to make that phone call, or I have to take care of this project, or I have to send that email or respond to that email, or I have to make sure that the lawn is cut, or I have to make sure that, you know, on and on and on. All those responsibilities that we have, and they usually seem like they're all our ideas, because if we don't do them, who's going to do them? The lawn will be overgrown, the refrigerator will be empty, the taxes won't be paid. Well, that last one doesn't sound too bad, but it'll come back and get you most likely. All of those things, and yet perhaps God is asking us to do those very things, but we think it's us because our minds are so busy. The child usually doesn't have this list of 30 things every day when it wakes up it has to do that day that we often have as adults. So the child maybe is a little more open to hearing God's voice in their lives. And as a result of that, perhaps they start to build a confidence and a faith in God at a very young age. They feel God's presence in their lives. Now, they may not identify it in the same way we would as adults, But I was just thinking, who is it? The Saint Teresa of Lourdes, right? She was a, I might be off on some of the details here, but my memory was that she was a shepherdess, poor background, living in the countryside in France, and Mother Mary appeared to her in a vision. And as a result, there became this whole going to Lourdes for healing, and which continues today. And I think Teresa became a saint eventually as a result of that. But if she had been, a 40-year-old shop owner who happened to stop at the well just by chance, maybe God would have revealed himself through Mary to that shop owner. Maybe not. But because Teresa was this young, impressionable woman, more of a girl than a woman, she was able to recognize God in her life at that moment in a way that she might not have if she was full grown and had all the responsibilities of being an adult. So anything that we can do to allow God to enter us and then enter our worlds without all those filters we carry as an adult can mean we can have access to the Spirit and feel our souls awaken to the power of God with an immediacy that sometimes seems like make-believe because we don't know how to do that. Coming to worship in church and opening ourselves up and singing our hymns and praying and feeling the power of the Spirit as we are, I hope right now, I know I am, in this beautiful sanctuary filled with the prayers and love and hopes and dreams and spirit of generations past, we might get a glimpse of that God, that divine, that wonderful mystery in the midst of this time in prayer. But that can happen in other times in our life too. It doesn't just have to happen in church. God doesn't feel like, well, outside of the church walls, I never will appear. God will and does appear everywhere at all times in all places. We often just don't have the eyes to see. So, along with developing faith, which really just means believing that there is something greater than ourselves that fills our lives and the lives of everything in creation. Now, we can identify that as God, we can identify it as Christ, we can identify it as many different things, we want to give it a name. But ultimately, we don't really know what that is. We just know it's something that's beyond us, beyond our daily lives, and beyond our physical selves. Something that transcends reality as we know it day to day. So call it what you will. But the source of all creation and of all of our lives is something we can only sort of point at and say, I think it's God. Or maybe it's Christ coming to me. Or maybe it's just something that I have no idea how to identify it, but I know that it's there. And I rely on it. And I give my thoughts and my heart to it. And I pray for it, that it will be there for me. And most of the time, it is. And the time when it doesn't seem to be there for me could be because maybe we're not there for God. This faith is an ongoing process. And as a result of our beginning to build that or continuing to build that or realizing that it's been there all along, we realize confidence. And confidence is strength. Confidence is knowing that our faith is real and valid and ongoing. It does not leave us. We forget it. We leave it as we leave and forget God. But it never leaves us. Because if it did, we would fall and disappear. Because it's that power, that creation, that God energy source that makes all of this real and makes all of us in our lives alive. So the more that we can do to bring this understanding, it not only builds up the kingdom, it also brings the kingdom to life more fully in each of us. Psalm 27, 1 through 3 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Another psalm speaks to this, but makes it clear where we put our faith, not in man, and often enough, not even in each other, even those that we love. We put as much faith and trust as we can, as our children said. Who do you have faith in? Your family. And yet, as we all know, there will be times when our family is not able to be there for us, sometimes for good reasons, sometimes not. But the Lord is always there for us. Psalm 118, 7 through 9 says, "The Lord is on my side to help me. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me." Look in triumph on those who hate me. That's a pretty strong declaration of faith. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in mortals. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." This is one of those times where those words were never truer. We have to put faith in ourselves, not because we as individuals are superior or better than, but because we're putting faith in the God that lives within us. Because who are we with 99.9% of the time? Actually, it's 100% of the time. Ourselves. We have our partners or our parents or our children. We have numerous people that we rely on, that we love, that we go to for support, for solace, for sustenance in our lives. But who are we with all the time? You. You're with yourself. And if you can let that part of yourself, the heart of yourself, the part that drives and thrives and is vital within yourself, the God soul part of you, if you can give the attention and build that relationship with God, it'll never leave. It'll always be there with you. So that even when terrible things happen, as they do, even when you feel alone and abandoned or sick, and knowing that things are probably not going to get a lot better, God is with you. But it's up to each of us to build that awareness, to build that trust, to build that faith. God steps forward as we step forward. The more we give of ourselves to build our faith, the more God supports that back. But if we wait for God to come to us, most likely we're not even going to have the eyes to see when God does come to us. The dictionary says that confidence is the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. Firm trust. It also says the state of feeling certain about the truth of something. And I think that leads to the confidence of a feeling of self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. And I would add one's acceptance of who we are, of what our gifts are and what are the opposite of gifts. Blanking on that word, but you know, when you're, I'm really good at writing and I'm terrible at building a house, you know, whatever it is, your deficits and your talents, being honest and accepting that. And not as though you don't work to improve, not as though you don't work to make yourself better, more complete, more able. But that's not the same thing. You need to accept who God made you as, what God made you for. And as a result of that, it works with a faith, and it works with a confidence, and it works with the self-awareness and the empathy so that you can find yourself self-sufficient, not independent of everyone else, but able to lead a full life and trust that what you truly need is right here within you. Because of your faith, you have the confidence. Because of your self-awareness, you know what you can do and what you can't do. You know when to ask for help and when you can say, I can help you with that. And you have the empathy to be able to reach out to others when you know that they need your support, your compassion, your understanding. And they hopefully know they can do the same for you. In looking at confidence and faith, I went back again and again to some scripture in Matthew and a story that you're familiar with from Matthew 8, 6 through 12. As Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a Roman captain came up in a panic and said, Master, my servant is sick. He can't walk. He is in terrible pain. Jesus said, I'll come. I'll heal him. Oh, no, said the captain. I don't want to put you to all that trouble. Just give the order and my servant will be fine. I'm a man who takes orders and gives orders. I tell one soldier, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To my slave, do this, and he does it. Just give the order and my servant will be fine. Taken aback, Jesus said, I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust in Israel. The very people who are supposed to know all about God and how he works. This man is the vanguard of many outsiders who will soon be coming from all directions, streaming in from the east, pouring in from the west, sitting down at God's kingdom banquet alongside Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then those who grew up in the faith but had no faith will find themselves out in the cold, outsiders to grace and wondering what happened. Having that faith, as this Roman captain has, is not easy to achieve. God gave him that faith, but he worked hard to achieve it. And all he had to do was see Jesus to realize that this was a man of God. This is a man who can change lives. This is the man who God has sent to help me in my hour of need. Jesus had trouble with his disciples because often they seemed to ask why and how, and didn't seem to pay attention to his answers. They had trouble healing, as he asked them to go out and do, as you may recall, Matthew 17. His response, Jesus said, because you're not taking God seriously, The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a mustard seed, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. Earlier in Matthew 13, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and planted in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it's grown, it's the largest of all vegetable plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds in the sky come and nest in its branches." Our confidence has to come from our faith. Now, sometimes confidence can develop out of practicing something, learning a new skill, and finding ourselves being more capable at it than we expected. And then we feel a sense of confidence in that area. All of us have those kinds of skills, and all of us have that kind of confidence. Sometimes there's lack of confidence, however, because someone doesn't feel that there is any greater power, any God, any source that guides and helps us. And so they can feel hopeless. Or they feel like the only way is to take advantage of others, look for opportunities, and swoop down like a vulture. But for those of us here today, those of us who either believe or are trying to believe, or who once perhaps believed and are trying to find how to do it again, faith can be built. And like that mustard seed, it starts small. But with the power of our prayer, our worship, our dedicating ourselves to God in all ways we can, we give water and nutrients to that seed, and it grows and sprouts, and our lives become a faith-filled endeavor. And when that starts to happen, we can't ignore it anymore. We find our confidence growing. And from our confidence, we develop strength. And that strength gives us the power to really feel that we are God's agents in this world. I'd like to end this sermon with a quote from Hebrews 11, but that was put to music by a wonderful teacher of mine many, many, many years ago, Joe Miller. I've mentioned him in the past, but it's been a while. "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith is a bird that feels the light and sings while dawn is still dark." Our faith supports us if we support it, so that even in the midst of challenge, of obstacles, of difficult times, the faith is there like a strong backbone that gives us hope, gives us trust, gives us confidence that God is working in our lives. May this be so. Amen.